Mark chapter 9. Now I want to talk to you tonight about something that, Mark chapter 9, something that is a kind of a sore subject with a lot of people, and that is servanthood. Because, see, we all want to be served. We don't want to be servants. We want to be cared for, not be the caretakers. Pardon? Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 says, "And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, If anyone desires to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all." Now, if you flip over to chapter 10, starting with verse 42 of Mark, Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 42, "But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, the first thing you need to understand about servanthood is not slavery. And so many times when we talk about a servant, the first thing that comes to people's mind is slavery. But servanthood is not slavery. It is simply helping others. If you go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5, "Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward." Moses was a leader. Nobody disputes that. Non-Christians don't dispute that. As a matter of fact, Muslims don't dispute that. Egyptians don't dispute that. Everybody agrees that Moses was a great leader. And yet, here in the Word of God, it says Moses was a servant. Why? Because Moses felt that helping others was very important. And he wanted to help others in what he did in his life. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 29, you find out that Moses' greatest desire in life was to serve God. If you just flip over there to chapter 11, starting with verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." See, Moses had faith in God. He served God. By faith, Moses walked up to that burning bush in the wilderness. By faith, he listened to the voice of God. By faith, he stood and said, "I want to make sure this is God." And he argued with God and said, "I don't think I'm good enough." I mean, it takes somebody of faith to stand and argue with the living God. until you make God mad. Because God was getting mad. Turned into one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. If you go over to Exodus chapter 18, starting with verse 13, and so it was on the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. So when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did for the people, he said, "What is this thing that you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws." So Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself." Moses served the people. He was a servant to the people. He was their leader, but he was a servant to them. Why? Because he helped them. He helped them in their day-to-day problems. He tried to give them answers to their day-to-day situations. Just as he served God, he also served the people. You see how servanthood works? It works toward God and it works toward people, other people. Undisputedly, one of the greatest leaders that ever lived. And yet he was a servant to everyone. Jesus was a servant. He was probably the greatest servant that ever lived. Not probably, he was. Look at Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." See, there's the first requirement of a servant. Let each esteem others better than himself. When you have people walking around esteeming themselves more than others, you lose servanthood. Why? Because I'm better than you. When you drive by that person that's laying in the gutter, or walk by that person that's laying in the gutter, and look and say, "There but for the grace of God go I," what are you doing? You're esteeming yourself better than that person, are you not? See, what we should be saying is, "Here is the grace of God. Let me help you up out of that gutter." But the world would teach us that there are classes of people and we should not associate with a class lower than ourselves. As a matter of fact, there are religions that will teach you that. The Hindu religion, for instance, you aren't allowed to touch a person of the lower class. If you touch a person of the lower class, you're considered unclean. I mean, even touch them. But we should never consider another person to be of any lower status than we are. Why? Because God loves them just as much as he does us. You know, when I lived in Oklahoma, I lived in a housing development. And it was modest, 3-bedroom homes. And at that time, Tulsa was growing like crazy. And you could hardly find an older home in town. And our house was fairly new. Developments had sprung up everywhere. And across the road from our house was the Southern Hills Golf Course where they play the PGA Tour. And around the golf course was another housing development. Now, our homes were, like I said, modest three-story homes, or three-bedroom homes. Across the road, around the golf course, were not-so-modest homes that were worth in the millions of dollars around this Southern Hills Golf Course. And one morning I was driving out through our development on my way to work, and I was praying about the people in the development and how they needed Christ. And I stopped at the end of the road, and I was looking across the road at these million-dollar homes, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, there's as many people over there that need me as there are over here. He does not consider financial status. He does not consider social status. It makes no difference to him. Why should it to us? It did make no difference to Jesus. He ran with tax collectors. They were some of the richest people in town. Why? Because they stole everybody's money. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Does the Bible not say we have the mind of Christ? Well, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What did he do? He became a servant. He came from the uppermost class in the universe, God, and humbled himself to the lowest class in the universe, man, and became a servant to the rest of mankind. Greatest servant that ever lived. Humbled himself to the, in obedience to the point of death, the death of the cross. He was obedient to his master, the Father. He was exalted because of his obedience. And the Bible shows us instances of the faithful servant and the unfaithful servant. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 6, starting with verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The faithful servant was rewarded for his faithfulness. He got to see the army of God. There are very few men who have ever lived that got to see the army of God. And you know, we talked about this in Oak Tree class not too long ago. The mountain was full. There wasn't just a couple horses and chariots, you know. The mountain was full of chariots and horses. Amen? I mean, this mountain was full. And this man got to see it all. Why? Because he was a faithful servant to Elisha. He was concerned for Elisha's well-being. And he didn't know what we were going to do, because he wanted to protect his master. Go over to Matthew chapter 25. Starting with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Faithful servants. Once they proved their faithfulness, the master then was able to move them up and exalt them. How many people, you know, start a new job and right away they want to move up the ladder? They want to be the boss because I know how to do this job. I know how to do it all. This job's too menial for me. I can do that job. That man over there has been doing that job for 35 years. That's why you didn't get it. Well, I can do that job. No, you can't. You got to start here and work your way up and prove yourself faithful in the place that you're at. And once you prove yourself faithful in the place that you're at, then we'll start talking about moving you up to this job. And once you get up to this job, then you can move up to that job. Eventually, when that man up there retires, if you've proven yourself faithful the whole way up the ladder, we might talk about moving you in there. But you have to prove yourself faithful. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, I used to get upset when I traveled as an evangelist because everybody wanted me to prove myself and I felt like I was starting over all the time. Every time I turned around, I had to start over. Why? Because you have to prove yourself and prove yourself and prove yourself. Well, you know, once your name gets known and people get to know you, you don't have to prove yourself anymore as long as you've proven yourself faithful. But if the word gets out that you're unfaithful, you're pretty much done. You know, you don't have to make too many mistakes before you're pretty much done with the evangelism business. Because nobody will come. You know, I could start naming names in here of people that y'all wouldn't go to see. Why? Because they've proven themselves to be unfaithful. But when you prove yourself faithful, then God will exalt you. Amen? The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, but from the Father. What about the unfaithful servant? Go over to 2 Kings chapter 5. verse 14. It's talking about Naaman. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, "Then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing." Okay, so what has Naaman done now? He has made himself a servant of Elisha, has he not? He has now made himself a bondsman to Elisha because of what Elisha has done to him, for him, by giving him the prophecy whereby he was healed. So he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a short distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and take something from him." Well, that's not right. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from his chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, 'Indeed, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophet have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them 1 talent of silver and 2 changes of garments.'" So now here's this unfaithful guy. What's he doing? He's lying to get money. Does that sound like anybody you've ever heard of? We won't name any names. But we've all heard about people doing that, have we not? So Naaman said, "Please take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and handed them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master, Elisha, said to him, 'Where did you go, Gehazi?' And he said, 'Your servant did not go anywhere.'" Well, you lying bag of bones, you. Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever.' And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow." Unfaithful servant got his just reward. You want to meet some unfaithful servants? Right down there in the big castle-like building across the street from the courthouse, you'll find a lot of unfaithful servants. Unfaithful servants. You want to meet some more? Go visit some churches, because there's a lot of them in the churches. Amen? Go back over to Matthew chapter 25. You knew we were coming back there. You should have kept your finger in it. Matthew chapter 25, starting with verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' Oh, I took care of your money for you, Lord. Here it is, all back. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Get him out of my sight. You're fired. You're not doing the job we hired you to do. You no longer have a job. That's what happens with unfaithful servants. So, where is your servanthood? Are you a servant to God? Are you a servant to man? Where is your servanthood? Look at Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Does this sound like Joseph, maybe? But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be a rough day for the unfaithful servant, but look what happens with the good servant. He gets more than he had before. See, when you're a faithful servant, God will see to it that you get more than you had before. When you're a faithful servant, God will see to it that you're blessed more than you were blessed in the past. And it's important as faithful servants that we continue our faithfulness on a day-to-day basis, because why? We need to be blessed every day, amen? Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. See, that's faithful servanthood. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. because he was hungry and thirsty and naked and sick, and they didn't do anything for him. That's what happens when you're an unfaithful servant. Depart from me, I never knew you. You didn't do anything for me. You were an unfaithful servant. And we know that the unfaithful servant, Gehazi, ended up with leprosy. The unfaithful servant in Matthew ended up in utter darkness. The unfaithful servant to Christ ends up departed. It's important to be a servant. It's important. Your servanthood is very, very important. The faithful servant gets blessed. The unfaithful servant is departed. Servanthood is a very, very important thing in the life of the believer. And yet it's something that we all don't want to talk about because nobody wants to be a slave. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be a servant. I thank you, Lord, that we can be a servant to you. We can be a servant to others. That, Father, we can bless you and we can bless others. And Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that this word tonight will become revelation knowledge in our hearts. That the word will be alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And Father God, that this word will take root and grow in good ground. Father, I thank you for a church full of servants ready to serve you and serve others. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.